stay on your lap. One must not slurp one's soup. Always wait to be served and be part of the group. No elbows on tables. Your head mustn't droop. And that's good manners and etiquette. Don't leave your seat.
Pellet member Rita Ehrlich speaks with restaurateurs Angie Giannadakis and Guy Holden of Melbourne's Epocha and Ellie Ross European Style Restaurants. Having noticed increasingly poor etiquette in restaurants, the pair are offering diners a lesson in culinary etiquette to help maximise their dining experience.
Why, Guy, I'll ask you first of all, what's happened over the last year that made you both think this was a good idea?
I think over time we've seen a shift in the reactions from the table, from diners dining in the restaurant, and that at the same time the interaction between our wait staff and diners, you know, there's been a sort of a gradual change in how people behave at the table and how they interact with us.
Are you talking about bad manners and lack of trust?
I think that's pretty much it. I think there's definitely been a change in how diners have been behaving. Yes, table manners, etiquette, just awareness for their environment, and at the same time, I think the wait staff and us as managers have been trying to navigate our way around that.
Angie, what for you, where do you start in these classes? What are the most important things for you?
I still think that it starts with the home, and it's also a good thing to know where everybody's manners come from. I just feel that this has been a change that's happened in the last probably year and a half. I do think that there's a lot of handheld food that's happening where people aren't using cutlery. There is obviously a movement towards respecting humanity and respecting not only produce but people around us. So therefore, it kind of like makes sense that we respect each other, especially the wait staff that are serving us.
Okay, I've had a sneak look at the school book.
Yes, the syllabus. Yes,
oh, the syllabus.
Very, very interesting.
Among the things you say to people is, don't stack the plates.
Yes. Don't stack them.
It's a golden rule.
Golden rule. Now, there are also, I've sat at table with people who want to stack the plates because they think it's being helpful.
Yes.
Why is it not helpful?
Well, first of all, usually the table that stacks the plates, it's usually someone who is the nurturer of the whole table, and that person is the one that's stacking the plates. So there's a lovely intention that we're aware of. But what happens when that person is stacking the plates? They're not stacking them in the way that restaurant waiters would be taking them away and going to the kitchen, back to the kitchen. So therefore, there's many times that they'll stack the plates and the waiters come and take the plates away, and then there's a clanging of all the cutlery falling down because it hasn't been stacked appropriately. So that's the reason why.
It also can sometimes, just make the job harder in the sense that you will go to clear the plates and you pick up the stack, but there's other stuff on the table that you then can't pick up at the same time. We teach our wait staff to be able to clear in such a way that they should be able to clear the majority of the table in one go. Obviously, on a larger table where you would have more diners, you would send a couple of staff at the same time to be able to clear everything all in one go. But the moment that you start stacking the plates in the middle of the table, that prohibits that from happening.
Okay, and waiters have to make two or three trips
exactly
to clear the table.
In the end of the day, it's not about the waiter being the waiter's time, or it's just an inefficient way of service. And then we're not taking care of the customer pouring waters when they're thirsty.
Yeah.
Now, a number of the things seemed to me like common sense, but if they were common sense, you would need to talk about them.
Yes, common sense.
If you're going to be late for the booking, ring, and don't sit hunched up on the table with your arms on the elbows on the table and your forearms extended as if you're protecting your plate.
That's correct.
And the other thing I noticed was the don't put your used napkin in the centre of a dirty plate.
Yes, and this that happens a lot. Yeah.
And why is that so unpleasant? I mean, it looks pretty unpleasant, but why is it so unpleasant? Because someone has to pick it up.
Yes.
Someone has to take the napkin out of the dirty plate that's sourced with the remnants of their meal. The idea that someone scrunched up their napkin and pushed it into a plate it looks disrespectful, but it might just be, I'm finished, I'm done, I'm just discarding my napkin. But that cloth napkin is going to be laundered by someone. So not only is the waiter picking out the napkin, but also the person who's laundering the napkin is also not being looked after in this instance.
And has a harder job to do.
Inevitably. Absolutely. Also, what that's doing is preventing us from clearing the table properly again. So, you will go to the table to be able to clear the plates properly, and to be able to get everything off the table in one go, we're going to have to take the napkin off and try to...
You'll have to take the plate.
You're going to have to take the napkin
and then come back.
And then come back again.
And so, although in some ways it sounds as if all this is about you.
Yes.
In fact, it's about making everyone's experience at the table more efficient and kinder.
That's the main motivation. The thing is that it can seem like there's a gripe, but the reality is that all of this time that is being expended in doing over-servicing is taking us away from being able to nurture and to, do the things that help the timely service of the restaurant. So, like Angie said before, filling up your water glass, getting back to the table to offer more drinks, getting, things wiped down nice and tidily. It takes away from the general service. Mm.
Talk to me about mobile phones and how they're used.
Well, back in the old days, and I like saying that, back in the old days, we didn't have mobile phones. But if we needed to make a call, we would go to the phone booth in the restaurant. And I think, in fact, the Flower Drum still has a phone downstairs.
I think it does, yes.
It does, right. But a phone call or an urgent phone call or... leaving the table for a phone call was always something that was outside of the dining sphere. These days, because we're connected to our phones, in fact, we've got it in our pocket or we've got it on our table, and therefore it's considered something that, you need to be... it needs to be readily available. So someone who's taking a call at the table will more than likely excuse themselves but then wander around the remainder of the restaurant where other diners are there as well and probably bump into them or bump into the service staff while they are also trying to service the rest of the restaurant. Or they'll try to find a little corner somewhere where it's quiet instead of going outside and taking their phone call in private. So I think that the phones should be not necessarily put away, but at least on silent. And if it's an emergency, leave the restaurant, go outside, take your call.
Yeah.
In a romantic restaurant, there's the light of the screen. It's very distracting. In a social media world where people are photographing their food, where you feel connected via Messenger, via various different apps, I think the phone has infiltrated the dining, the restaurant scene quite dramatically. And... to the point that you see full tables on their phones not talking to each other and not really engaging with the waitstaff or the food.
I think we're used to it now.
We are, yeah.
But then also some restaurants are also creating lighting that's highlights the colours of the food that they're eating as well.
Do you mind people taking photographs?
I don't think it's a bad thing to photograph your food, but I think it would be nicer if they have memories of the food rather than taking photos of it or so forth.
You were also saying that people are Googling for information rather than asking a waiter. Is that common?
That will happen probably anywhere between 5 to 6 times a week. So whether they're Googling the menu words or they're Googling a bottle of wine that's on the wine list, I find that's... personally, as much as you know, it might insult me. On the other hand, perhaps waiters or the restaurant trade hasn't managed to become a little bit more accessible. I feel like somehow it's also our fault that the customer isn't asking us those questions.
Interesting.
How do you solve that?
By trying to explain the menu not as quickly as possible, but at least taking the time and going, okay, well, picking out a few words that might look a little bit foreign and explaining those. Because everybody knows what lamb, chicken, and
duck are.
Exactly. And as far as the wine list is concerned, obviously going up to the table and saying, well, we could always help with any of your wine choices.
Which is a much nicer way of saying, someone once said to me, shall I send the sommelier over? Which I thought was a bit rude.
Exactly.
Thank you both so much for talking with us and for taking time out during a busy afternoon.
Thank you.
To talk to us.
Absolute pleasure.
And in the future, if we ever have an audible restaurant book, we'd like you to be the words.
Oh, okay. I'd love to be. Thank you, Angie. Thank you, Guy.
Thanks, Rita.
That was our Rita Ehrlich there, speaking with Angie and Guy at Epoca, I think, wasn't it?
The restaurant Epoca. That's right.
Fantastic.
In Carlton. Just on the city edge of Melbourne.
And should one go along there and have a lesson from them, do you think?
I think you should, but I hope that none of our listeners need a lesson.
No, I agree.